Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like the doodah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' on, on, on.
All right, so last week we asked you to tell us the story behind your name, and today we want to hear the story about your last move. New York is a city of movers, but how do we all get here? Or anywhere? We're taking your calls all about your last move. Call us at 212-433-9692. You can also tell us your story right now on Facebook or tweet at us, WNYC Midday, using the hashtag MovingDayMemory. Got a story for you I heard this weekend. It's from an old friend, Carrie Messenger. She recounted to me the time she secretly moved out without telling her roommate. This was 1997. Carrie, now she lives in West Virginia. She told me at the time there were three of them living together. This is in Park Slope. One of them, call her Betty, sublet the place. So she was collecting the rent checks from the others. As it turns out, she wasn't actually handing the money over to the landlord. But that wasn't the real issue. The real issue was that Betty spoke in different voices. And these voices were having an ongoing debate as to whether the other roommates could be trusted. They're bad people, one voice would say. No, they're not so bad, the other would respond. Carrie knew Betty had stopped taking her medication. She felt bad about this, but she also sort of rationalized the situation, thinking, well, the voices seem to dislike the other roommate more than they dislike me, so I guess things could be even worse. But the voices slowly got more threatening. So without telling Betty, Carrie and her roommate, the third roommate, found a place in Fort Greene. They rented a van. They loaded everything in. But for whatever reason, they left the cat behind. So later that day, they headed back to the place in Park Slope. They found Betty in a chair, stroking the cat like a James Bond villain, she said. Betty thought that maybe the two had left the cat for her, but without any protest, she handed the cat over. Carrie told me, thinking back on it, the whole situation was really sad. That's Carrie Messenger, who no longer lives here. Very New York City story. I'm wondering what your story is. Call us again, 212-433-9692. All right, we got somebody who's calling. Angela, we're going to go to you. Angela, you there?
I'm here.
Hi. What's your story about moving? Your moving day memory.
Hi. Yeah, I moved from New York City to Detroit in May of 2017.
Okay, just last year.
Yeah, and I've been here since then, and my story about moving. I mean, it's always hard to leave a place you've lived all your life, but the adventure was more alluring to me than the fear of moving.
The adventure of moving was what?
More alluring. The adventure of moving to a city where I didn't know anybody and just starting over and having a new life.
And how smooth was the move? Was it pretty uneventful?
Mostly, except you have to watch out for the movers. They don't always give you the right advice, and I was advised to keep my stove intact with the grates on top because they would wrap everything. And it didn't work out well. They didn't cover the cost for that. They cover something like 20%.
So you're one of this kind of like a little mini migration of New Yorkers to Detroit. Did that work out? Do you have any tips for us?
Yes, it's working out. I love it here. This is such a great vibe, and it's very art friendly. So if you're an artist and you want to come to a place where things are still growing and happening, this is a great place.
Great.
And come.
All right. Thanks so much. Thank you, Angela, for calling from Detroit. All right, we can go to caller three here. This is Mary calling from Brooklyn.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I listen to WNYC all day long now.
Thank you.
Actually, yeah. So I was recently forced out of Park Slope after 25 years of living there.
Oh, wow.
On Fifth Avenue in DeGraw, which, you know, anybody can tell you was the last block of Fifth Avenue to come up. I've been gentrified out of neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood. When I was a young woman, I would just move into the next minority neighborhood that was going to be coming up soon, you know. And now I'm in Bay Ridge, which they call a NORC, a naturally occurring retirement community.
Uh-huh.
We moved in here right before Hurricane Sandy, which is like a perfect metaphor for how my life has gone since, really.
I'm sorry. And
yeah.
So you were priced out of your place in Park Slope. How bad was it, the price?
The price was non-negotiable. We had been there for 25 years. We were paying $1,400, which we knew was a very good deal at that time, but we had suffered through the years of the Keystone window stickers that were, you know, on the empty facades across the street and the whole street torn up and nothing but, you know, a 12-foot drop to the where they were working on pipes for years. I mean, we were the absolute last block of Fifth Avenue to come up.
Mm.
And, you know, when we weren't gentrified out in, you know, when the rest of the Fifth Avenue was coming up, we thought we were okay. But as soon as the Barclays came, that was it.
So have you gone back to Park Slope since you moved?
Well, everything I love is there, my community garden, my ceramic studio, but I have less and less access. I'm 65. I was also forced out of my job. You know, it's just like, you know, and no one talks about this. I mean, how many professional women I know that are single or lesbians like myself who are gentrified out of New York over and over and over again? And no one talks about that issue. Everybody talks about gentrification happening to families and, you know, but professional women, I worked all my life as a teacher, so exactly this wouldn't happen.
Well, thank you for calling, Mary.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to me.
All right, take care. We have a comment from Facebook from Ian Hayes about his moving experience. He said, I went to spend the summer with my mother as a kid, and when I arrived, found the house half-packed and somewhat emptied out. She then informed me that my recent ex-stepfather had threatened to burn down the house at night with all of us in it. So we had to move the rest of everything out super quickly while keeping an eye out for him. It was really stressful, and in retrospect, I'm glad I was so young and shielded from that with that delusional sense of immortality a preteen has. My half-brother and I spent the rest of the summer in Florida with grandparents. Definitely my worst move. All right, we have a tweet also from Aparna Mukherjee. My landlord hired a property manager who not only hiked the rent by 20% with less than 30 days notice, but accused me of being, quote, a white woman pretending to own the building. Let them keep the deposit instead of paying last month. Left most of my furniture in the apartment, freeing but terrifying. All right, well, if you have any more calls like that, stories like that, please share with us, 212-433-9692, or use the hashtag movingdaymemory. Another story from, let's see, this is Hari Bellin, another split personality issue. The owner had split personality and used to drink and have an argument with himself in two different voices every night. It was a house quite remote and used to be quite scary. All right, we're going to go to Tom calling from Jackson Heights. Are you there, Tom?
I'm here. Let me tell you my story.
Please.
So my wife and I lived in a fifth-floor walk-up in Williamsburg for about 20 years, and we had a great deal on rent. Our building was run down, though, and my wife had trouble with the street noise. And as the area gentrified, we kind of felt like strangers in our neighborhood. So we decided it was time to move, and so we got a chance, and we chose Jackson Heights for the sort of authentic, multicultural, middle-class experience. And in a lot of ways, it's been an improvement. The building where we are now is clean. It has an elevator, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been a few surprises. Sadly, we have not escaped the street noise. It's a different street, but it's still noisy. And
you mentioned something, Tom, about feeling like a stranger. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, it was a sort of a class thing. The upper class folks moving into the area,
yeah.
And the luxury high rises going in the river. And so, you know, when we were first living there, 15, 20 years ago, it was more of a in our circles, kind of an artist enclave, and so it's changed a whole lot. So we were interested in mixing it up, and now we're in Jackson Heights. But in some respects, I now miss the old neighborhood because there are some amenities that I don't have any bookstores mm-hmm. or concert venues, and the city views aren't so good.
But what do you think you've gained
in Williamsburg?
What do you think you've gained? What are the things that you appreciate in your new place?
Like I said, the having an elevator is
sure.
really nice,
right.
And it's The apartment is a little bit bigger, too, so it has closets, which is nice, a lot of closets. So that's good.
But still feeling a little, I guess, homesick.
A little homesick for the old neighborhood, that's right.
And how long has it been again?
Just about a year.
Okay. Well, I hope that goes well for you, Tom, and hope that you ease into Jackson Heights.
Thank you very much.
So I got a message from someone named Anita, an email. She lost her $1,500 cash deposit. This is her story. She said, moved with my two-month-old baby from Jersey to a DV place, meaning domestic violence place, to leave the father of my child and to leave the mess of Hurricane Sandy. Was rather happy to move back to the city, but the amount of effort was daunting. Packed all, two suitcases for my son and I, all other items moved to storage, all done in 10 hours. It was a mix of emotions, especially since it had to be done quickly for safety and to avoid confrontation. That day, I attained my security deposit cash, but managed to lose all of it. I made some lucky person very happy at the bodega I'd made a pit stop at, most likely. All is calm and well now. That's Anita. All right, we're going to take another call, I think, from Jason. Jason, you there?
Yes.
Hi, what's your story, Jason?
I first moved to New York City in 2001, and I was moving here alone in a big U-Haul.
From where?
From Connecticut, which I had been living in Connecticut for 2 years for grad school, so I'm not originally from the East Coast, so had only been to New York City a couple times before then, so... New York seemed very much like a big place to me. So I was driving in my U-Haul and found my apartment, double parked it, and then was going to run into my apartment to get my new roommates and ask them to help me parallel park, since I was unfamiliar with parallel parking, especially having to do it in a large U-Haul. And then I discovered that the apartment did not exist. I was the number I was looking for was 27, and I had seen 26 and 28 on the opposite side of the street. But on the other side of the street, there just simply was no 27 that I could find. So I went back to the U-Haul and discovered that I had locked my keys in the car.
Uh-oh.
And not only my keys, but... my wallet and anything that I had on me was, you know, I just left my wallet on the dashboard, and this was before I had a cell phone. So I had nothing on me, and it was pouring rain, and I did not know where my apartment was. And the U-Haul was running with the keys locked inside. So I walked around for a while and, eventually realized that my address was not 27, but 127, and was able to, so I found it, got my roommates, called the locksmith, got into the U-Haul. By this point, it was pretty late at night, so I didn't even unpack my stuff, just parked the U-Haul, slept, and then awoke the following morning to a big fist fight right outside my window.
Nice.
This was Borum Hill, you know, a very safe neighborhood, but I was new to the city, so I had no idea. And I remember my roommate running into my room and you know, telling me, this doesn't usually happen.
It's a lot nicer than it looks.
Yeah.
And so this was 2001, you said?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason, for calling in.
Thank you.
I'm Arun Vanagopal, and we're talking all about moving, how it's changed your life, when was the last time you moved, and even how you feel when you see moving trucks in your neighborhood. We'll be right back after a break. All right, we're talking to you about your last or worst or best move, time you moved in, time you moved out. We're going to take a caller. Let's go to caller 8. Is this Jan in Plainfield?
Yes.
Hi.
That's correct. Jan in Plainfield, New Jersey.
And tell us about your move.
Well, I have lived or had lived in New York City, first Manhattan and then Brooklyn for most of my adult life until recently. I've now been in Plainfield, New Jersey for about 12 years. And my then husband, well, late husband, we were not forced out of Brooklyn, but we just decided that we'd like to have more space, and the time seemed right to buy a house. What drew us to Plainfield is it's just the most amazing. It's known for large, beautiful historic houses. It's really one of the most famous towns in the country for that. So that's why we chose Plainfield. And I love it here. I miss New York when I come back to the city. You know, I usually think, at first I think it's great to be here, then I think I'm glad I don't live here anymore. But the most interesting thing I've learned is that I never felt New Yorkers were unfriendly to a bothersome degree. That's the cliche. Mm-hmm. But I find in retrospect that I think New Yorkers are more curious about other people and more interested in getting to know them than people where I live now.
Really? You find that kind of is lacking?
Yes, yes. And my theory is that New York is full of people who do all kinds of interesting and varied things professionally, probably more than any other place in the country. So for one thing, New Yorkers, are, you know, they want to make connections. They like to see if you might, and it's not necessarily conscious, but they're always looking for leads for business opportunities. But they're also just curious to see what other people do. So they ask you more questions and take a more personal interest.
Well, thank you, Jan, from Plainfield. I appreciate your insight about what we like about the city, even though it can sometimes be an incredible pain.
Yes.
Let's take another call now. Call from New Jersey.
This is Sheila from New Jersey.
Hi, Sheila. What's your story about moving?
Okay, so we moved every 2 years when I was growing up. So I had moved 12 times by the time I turned 24. And basically, every time we were going to a new place, my father would tell us about all the great things there and amusement parks and fun things that we could do. So he kind of sold us on the place, and it became, you know, really exciting and like a vacation for us when we were moving. So that was our vacation.
And when was it? Yeah.
So, and then I came up to the New York area for my job. So the first time I came up, I didn't understand how to drive in the city or where to park or anything, and I didn't understand what the no standing meant. I wasn't really sure. I thought maybe it was like, don't stand on the sidewalk.
Don't loiter. So,
exactly. So I parked my car there, and then I had to go rescue it from wherever they take them away, and you feel like you've been in some weird movie or something when you're going to get your car. So that was a whole new experience too.
And when was that again?
Oh, that was in the early 80s when I first came to the city.
And you live where in New Jersey now?
Nutley, New Jersey.
And how do you feel looking back on that era? Do you miss it? Are you nostalgic at all about it, like a lot of people are?
About New York?
Well, and that era. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the era. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It was such a cool time and so different now with everything so standardized with all the stores and shopping.
Well, thank you, Sheila, for calling in. We're going to go to Charles calling from Forest Hills. Hi, Charles.
Yes. Hi. My story begins in 1965. My fiance and I visited the World's Fair, and we went to the Belgian village, this mock-up of medieval town, and we left there with all sorts of good feelings about it, and we were sort of lost in Queens because we come from the Bronx, and we turned into this neighborhood that looked like it was out of a time warp. It looked like it was like 1925, and it was a neighborhood well known as Forest Hills Gardens. We had no idea what it was, where we were, but we took a look at an apartment that was in one of the few six-story buildings in the neighborhood. It was built in 1937. It was identified in 2011 as one of the IT buildings for the co-ops in the outer boroughs. But to us, it was just an apartment. We went up there, we saw a place, and we went back, and she was going to tell her dad that we found a place to live. And her dad said, oh, before you say anything, I found a place for all of us, you know, and I wanted to be a dutiful husband. So we moved, and coincidentally, in another part of Forest Hills.
And well, do you remember how much the rent was in 1965?
I don't even know at that point. It goes back too far, but it was very reasonable. It was a rental in those days, and it was very reasonable. It was I don't want to take up too much of your time, but what it had been was a hotel, so all the apartments were studios for the most part. Mm-hmm. But it was fine for my fiance and I.
And
anyway,
now it's...
So we got married, and well, she passed away, and years went by, and about 15 years ago, I had sold my apartment, my house, and I said, where do I want to live? And I said, why don't I go back there? And the neighborhood hadn't changed, and the realtor took me to the exact same house.
Oh wow!
Okay, now I'm deciding this is a big move for me. I'm going from a duplex into a studio, but I was willing to get rid of everything and to move in. But I was undecided, and there was on the wall of the realtor a hand painted map done by an artist of Forest Hills by celebrating the neighborhood, and in the corner was a list of names of his favorite friends, and was my family name.
Oh wow!
So
I love it.
You talk about Bichette. That could I say no to that?
You could
not.
Know?
And
right.
So I've been living there in this beautiful, beautiful neighborhood that is. By ordinance of the corporation is stuck in time, and it looks exactly as it did when I saw it, and exactly as I would have seen it back in 1925. It is just very beautiful. It can be Googled, Forest Hills Garden.
Sure.
But I feel I was meant to be there, and I've been just so happy.
Thank you so much, Charles from Forest Hills. I got a story here about somebody who broke up. Her name is Mallika Dutt. I was in a dark fog after moving out of my home in Jackson Heights after my divorce. I had put all my stuff in storage and got on a plane to go to my parents in India to lick my wounds. I had no idea where I was going to live when I got back to New York City and was having nightmares about becoming a bag lady when friends offered me their 5-story townhouse with a housekeeper in Tribeca until I found my feet. They'd moved to Singapore, and their beautiful, luxurious home became my oasis during a time of deep pain. Instead of being homeless, I had a loving Nepali housekeeper who made me breakfast every morning for almost 6 months until I found a place in Harlem. It was quite an extraordinary gift to receive during such a difficult time. And let's see if we have another caller here. Matt, are you there in Middletown? Oh, we're going to go to... All right. Actually, we're going to go to Robert. Robert, you there in Manhattan?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from, Robert?
I'm calling from East Village. Actually,
okay.
East 7th Street, right across the Tompkins Square Park.
Got it. And you have a moving story you want to share with us?
Yes. I moved in that area originally. I had moved there in the beginning of 90s. Then I moved back to Williamsburg. And 6 years ago, I decided to go back to Manhattan. So I've got a cozy, nice one-bedroom apartment. High ceilings and the windows going straight to the park across the street. So it was so cool. And I moved in there in October, I remember. But then when the springtime came, started to get warmer. To my great surprise, it happened that they have this concert, mostly heavy metal music, in Tompkins Square Park on Saturdays and sometimes on Sundays. And they start usually 11, 12, and they last up till 8 p.m. So now I'm sitting in my view, looking at the nice trees, listening to the heavy metal every weekend, which is kind of a little disturbing. You know, after a whole week of work, you would like to be a little quiet. And you know what quality windows we have it. Yeah, so that's my story. Plus, there's another story. Ever since the Uber-type cars exploded. In front of my entrance to my building, there's a fire hydrant, which I said, this is so cool. You come from shopping sometimes or with taxi, you can pull over. Well, those drivers who work now, you know how Manhattan is now, they hang on this block because the street is a little wider, and they park in the front of this hydrant. And I have to say that, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but they pee in bottles, which I can see from my second... third story, and they poured it...
You don't have to watch, you know.
...through the windows, yes. So now in the summer, there's another little thing. When I walk from my house, I smell urine.
New York City. There you have it.
In New York City.
Thank you, Robert. We're going to go to another caller. This is Joe calling from Sunnyside. Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great. What's your moving story, your moving day memory?
Yeah, I'm a native New Yorker. I was born and raised in Hell's Kitchen. Grew up in a tenement-style apartment. And I remember my parents at the time were paying, this was in the 60s and 70s, they were paying $65 a month for the apartment.
Wow.
And then we moved to a sort of a development that they put up for us on the far west side on 11th Avenue. And it was in the middle of vacant lots and car dealerships and also had a lot of limo drivers who parked and did the exact same thing with bottles. But across the street was this lot, this empty lot. And, you know, we used to just get up to all sorts of trouble in there. And today there's a building in there that has million-dollar apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've moved out of my parents' house, I haven't been able to live in Manhattan, partly because I moved first out to Colorado, where you got so much more value for your money. When I come back to Manhattan, I think, oh, I'm not going to pay for that. But if you had said to us, you know, back in the 70s, there would be million-dollar apartments in your neighborhood, we would have laughed because we just didn't think there was any value. And often people say to me, geez, I bet you're just angry that you didn't buy something when you could have. And we didn't actually, stupidly, didn't think that it would be worth anything. Who would want to live down there? Now, of course, everybody. So now I'm happy in Staten Island, and which is a place I never thought I would move to. But I think I'm probably the only person representing it on this show today.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. Thank you for representing. Thanks, Joe, calling from Staten Island. I'm going to read another comment. We're going to about to close out real soon. This is from Ann Hepperman. 2 years ago, she had a fire in their apartment in Greenpoint. There was significant damage. The next morning, while we were still in shock, our landlady calls to say that the building was going to be condemned, that we had to have everything out in 5 hours. There was still debris, water damage all over the place. We were still in shock. We posted online the help that we needed. I still get teary about how many friends showed up to help us out. They saved so many special objects and helped us find movers who shockingly got the job done. I'll never forget those people, and it made me love New York because even in your darkest time, people will show up to help you. We now are the people who show up when friends need help moving. That is from Ann Hepperman, who lives in Queens now. So any more comments? Let's see. This has been our moving day memory conversation. If you want to tweet at us with your story, please use the hashtag and tweet at us. And thank you so much for calling in. That is the show.